Oh, praise the Lord. I'm just looking at some. I wanted to. Oh, yeah, there is something over there. I wanted to just hold on a second. I'm not leaving. See you guys. Oh, here we go. This will work. Yeah, this will work. This is good. I'm gonna ask you a question. The Lord just said do this. Okay, so I'll do it. Yeah, this is a little piece of cake. It is a, hey, how do you know? What are you talking about? It says it's a root beer moose cake. Dude, are you for real? That looks delicious. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good?
Yes.
Have you tasted and seen that this is good?
I guarantee it is.
No, I have not.
I want to say this just a few minutes or so. It's good. There's no green on it or nothing. I want to talk about the presence of God this morning because even as I look at this, this looks really tasty, but for me to taste it, what do I got to do?
Open it up.
I got to open it up. There's something that I have to do to taste and see that this is good, right?
Yeah.
Just follow me with this. So if you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, is there something on your end? Is there something that you have to do to taste and see that the Lord is good? Or do you just... It's good because I just said it there, because I put it in my presence, because I showed up this morning maybe. I want to talk about the presence of God. So follow me really fast, if you will.
Okay.
Try to pay attention as much as possible. There's some things I'm going to actually teach you. And then we're going to let God just do the rest. There's three aspects to the presence of God that we need to understand. I believe we need to understand it so that we can understand it, so that we get it when we talk about God's presence. There's the omnipresence of God. The omnipresence, maybe, how many of you ever heard that word before? The omnipresence. I know it's a strange word. It's not a word that you use on a regular basis, but it basically means simply this, is that God is everywhere. God is present everywhere. How many of you know that in God you live and you move and you have your being, you have your existence? The very breath that you breathe is because of the presence of God. Without the omnipresence of God, guess what exists? Absolutely nothing. Here's what's even a trip, and I'm going to blow your mind like you've never been blown before. Not even death exists without the presence of God. Not even darkness exists without the presence of God. Do you understand that? No, you don't, because there's no possible way for you in your finite mind, my finite understanding, to comprehend that, what that means. Because all that we know in God, we live and move and have our existence. Hello? So the omnipresence of God is everywhere. He created the heavens and the earth. The heavens are beyond what we can even discover at this point. At this point, what we can discover in the heavens is what God created. We cannot see that far with any kind of sort of magnifying telescope that's amazing, I can't even fathom it. We cannot see that far. We cannot comprehend that far. God created that. And it's beyond our even grasping right here and now. And he created the earth too. That's where we dwell. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for giving us a nice little planet that we can live on, and everything is perfect and everything is just right. Without it, we do not exist. Without the presence of God, we do not exist. There's a scripture to back it up. Psalm 139, verses 1-6. If you want to go there real fast, it's very simple. It says this: Lord, you have searched me and known me. I love the way he portrays this. You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And you are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Even the very thoughts of your inner thought life, God knows it. God is there. That's a trip. I'm tripped out right now. I'm just like, I'm going to sit here and trip. I haven't even taken any drugs or anything. I don't at all. So I don't know what I could be tripping out on. Tripping out on God. Jesus, the highest high, right?
Amen.
Amen. Where did I leave off? For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. Even if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. That's awesome. That is talking and referring to a presence of God that is real, it's existent, and it's even it's transcendent. It's that which we can feel and touch. We can see and know that God's presence is everywhere, the omnipresence. There's this other aspect of God's presence. It's the inner presence of God. This is cool because this is going to dwell into, it's going to segue into what I want to talk about this morning. So I'm going to turn to John chapter 14. Actually, let's go to John chapter 3 first of all. Talking about the inner presence of God, it can only be attained by being simply this one thing that Christians call, because we get it from the Bible, being born again. Being born again. John chapter 3, starting in verse 3, says this: Jesus answered Nicodemus, said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So it is everyone who is born of the Spirit." He's referring to then now this indwelling presence of God by being born again. And how do we become born again? Very simple, right? You guys want to hear the gospel real quick in about 30 seconds? Yeah. Awesome. Here he goes. You simply surrender your life. Believe in the Lord Jesus, who is Christ, God in the flesh, died for my sins, resurrected, came back to life by the power of God. Amen. And therefore, all I simply need to do is trust in that salvation, in the grace of God to cover my sins, to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. And therefore, I'm saying yes to you, Jesus, as being God. That's it. And when I say yes to you, his Spirit becomes alive in me, and I am born again. I humble myself at the mighty hand of God and say, "Jesus, I need a Savior, and you're it." That's simply all it takes. That's cool. Now, how do we walk in this presence of God? I want to go to John chapter 14, because this gets really fantastic. This is going to be fun. It's going to get gritty, but I will warn you again, as I always do when it does get gritty, right? That means you can, at that point, go and do something that's a little distracting, or play on your cell phone, or have to take a potty break, or do whatever you got to do. Come on, guys. Are you guys with me this morning? Okay, good. All right. I like that. Corby's like, "Hey, get off my back, man. I'm looking up the verse. I didn't even tell you the verse, but that's all right. I'm looking it up. I'm going somewhere." John chapter 14, verse 15. I like that. What's that again? I actually said that?
Dude, it's right there.
Well, but yeah. I actually have other verses to go with it, but okay, cool. this is amazing, guys. Listen to this. John chapter 14, I'm going to start in verse 15. If you love me, Jesus is speaking, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Verse 19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Huh. Judas, not Iscariot. I like how, if you got the study Bible, he lets us know it's not Judas Iscariot. Said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I want to talk about that word manifest, because this is the presence of God that I believe that as we look into. It's the presence of God that when I asked the question, have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? It's that manifest presence of God that reveals himself to us, shows up in a very tangible way, because it's something that we feel, we sense, we hear, we see, we know. It's God's presence. It's God showing up. It's not just something that I read about. It is something I read about, but it's more than just something I read about. It is a tasting and seeing a manifest presence of God. And Jesus gives us this really amazing promise that I will manifest myself to him whoso chooses to love me. That's awesome. So what is the manifest presence of God? What is it? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what it entails. How do we get it? How do we stay in it? And how? And actually, even this is really neat, is what are the promises that come with it? What do we get from being in the presence of God? Ha! What do you get from being in the presence of God? The presence of God, the manifest presence of God, is simply this, is a cause, it's an appearing. It's a coming into view. It's a revealing, an uncovering, making visible, presenting oneself to another. All those things, that's what the word manifest, I just read you the definition of what the word manifest means. And that's what Jesus is saying he is doing in our presence. He is doing right here and now amongst you young people. You guys with me? Oh boy, I'm going to get him. No. He was over there giving Robert a wet willy. Let's talk about this. I want to ask you this a question here. Is there anything better than just simply seeing Jesus for who Jesus is? Just a thought-provoking question. I don't want you to even answer it, but I want you to just think about this. Is there really anything better than seeing Jesus? Absolutely not. There's nothing better. We're talking the personal, intimate, reciprocal, relational, committed heart of God in Jesus. And when God manifests himself through Jesus and reveals and shows up in our lives, and we get to see that, there is nothing better than seeing Jesus. And he says, I will manifest myself to him, to you, to you. What does that look like? What does that feel like? What does that taste like? What does that do for you? Let's talk about what it does for us here. What do we gain? This is, oh man, I don't know why I get so excited about this study, this stuff, when I get to study it and I have all the answers already. That I ask the questions and I have all the answers to the questions that I ask. I don't have all the answers. I just have the answers to the questions I ask. You guys following me?
Yeah.
All right. Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. What do you gain from the presence of God? And some of it's just very simple to just look up and say, this is what we gain. Verse 14 of Exodus chapter 33 says this, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Ha, that's a good gain, isn't it? A rest for your soul, a rest in your spirit, a rest in him, to where there's no longer this turmoil that's going on inside of me. A rest, when I think of the word rest, I think of the word peace. I think of that which is restoring. You know, in that word, we get the word restoration, because that which, when we get rest, our bodies do restore itself. And that's when we rest in God, in the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, we get rest. And that's a good thing. I'm not talking about kicking back on a recliner, even though that's nothing wrong with that. I like a good kickback on a recliner. Sometimes I'll do that in the middle of the day when I'm picking up a recliner. I'll put it in my truck and go park somewhere and just kick back in it. I've tried it. And then someone comes knocking on my door and says, hey, can you come over here? I was like, oh man, I was just there for just a second. Anyway, that had nothing to do with nothing. So just disregard that. What else do we get? Listen to this. We get protection from our enemies. Psalm 9:3. Listen to this. Psalm chapter 9, verse 3. It says, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. This is really cool. Listen to this. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. What he's describing here is that there's this very real thing that happens in the presence of God. When the manifest presence of God shows up in my life, and it's in a way, are you guys tracking with me a little bit? I want you to track with me so that we understand, so that as I'm laying this out, I'm kind of like, if you will, I'm showing you this, but I haven't actually given it to you yet. I know, a little bit rude, but it's actually, I'm showing you what we have available for us in the presence of God, but we haven't talked about how to get there yet. So that's why I'm saying, track with me in this, stick with me, and we'll get through, we'll get there. This is a really cool thing that happens. He says that when my enemies turn back, they stumble, they trip, they fall, they get confused. That's an awesome thing, because what he's saying is, in the presence of God, the enemy, our enemy, we have a real enemy, a spiritual enemy, then sometimes comes, you know, in light of people and things and situations and circumstances. But in the presence of God, and this is, I want you to identify with this and notice it in your life, that you will see that the enemy flees, turns and goes. But not only do they turn back and leave, but as they're turning and leaving, there's confusion. And there's no stability in their turning and leaving. Do you understand that? Do you see that? That's what he's saying that happens in the presence of God. And that's not for us to sit and relish in and say, ha ha, there they go, tripping over themselves. No, we don't do that. We don't need to do that. Let God handle, let God take care of the circumstances, even the people that the enemy is using in our lives. Let God take care of them. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to portray yourself as holy and mighty and that which is, well, I'm of God. No, just let Let the presence of God come into your situation. You have to invite him in and let God take care of the things in your life that the enemy is looking to destroy in you. Hello? Are you guys? I know there's a few of you that are tracking with me, and that's okay. The rest of you kind of just jump on board. We'll get to the next one. Because this is amazing stuff. I believe it to be true. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've watched it in people's lives, in my life. When I try to, and I feel like I must defend myself, and when I feel like I must fight the fight, and I leave God out of the picture, the enemy seems to get stronger in those battles. And it seems to be able to have his way with me in those battles. But when I just rest in the presence of God and in his peace, that he is sovereign and that his love for me is very real and tangible. It's not something I just read about and talk about and think about and dream about. It's something that I hold on to. And as I hold on to his love and his care and his compassion and his affection for me, that presence causes the enemy to turn and be confused. I've seen it happen in my life and in other people's lives. So this is a carrot to say, well, then I need to go for the presence of God in a situation, a circumstance, in a relationship. Hello? You guys, okay, good. We're there. You're tracking still. Psalm 21, verse 6. This is great too. There's quite a few in Psalm that I discovered, and this is, well, just they're easy to see in Psalms. Oh, that's not the right verse because it's not at the right place. Psalm 21, verse 6. Says this: For you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. In the presence of God, in this manifest presence of God, becomes joy in gladness and blessing. We receive joy of his presence with a gladness of our heart and blessings that come with us. Let's just call it for what it is, guys. Sometimes, have you ever seen and run across, and maybe you're experiencing yourself, that didn't sound very good, but have you ever run across something where, oh, I'm just, you know, hanging in there. So, yeah, how you doing today, brother? Well, you know, this is going on, and I'm just hanging in there. I know it's Glenn's favorite saying, so please say it to him 3 or 4 times today before you leave. Oh, he says, he's looking at me like, yeah. I know. In the presence of God, there's gladness of heart. There's gladness of heart. So let's strive to be in his presence and attain that presence and walk in that presence and let the gladness of God fill my heart. We had a situation come up this yesterday. Gosh, it was some of my days. They're so like, woo, I don't know if it was yesterday or last week, but yesterday was a day that, Brother George texted about some Brother Craig Duncan going through some stuff, and so ended up getting to give him a call, and Matt was with me, and let's just call him and just see what's going on, see if we can pray, and see what's happening there. And my brother Craig Duncan is, if you guys, when I say my brother, I'm brother in the Lord. He's been a brother of mine in the Lord for so many years. I count him as a brother. He's this guy that, no matter what is going on, there's a gladness in his heart, and his life is going upside down, backwards, like is about as fast as he can like. Just barely tread water and keep up with. And, you know, he's in disability right now. He's not able to work. You know what he told me this yesterday? And I mean this, that is sharing this with it. That's the most blessed way to glorify God in this. He said, and this is Craig, and I'm serious. And we're talking on the phone. I got on the speakerphone. He's like, ha, 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 you wouldn't believe it, brother. I tell you, this is the greatest thing. I was diving in a dumpster so that I could find a couple things so that I could sell at my yard sale because I don't even have enough money to pay my rent. Ha, praise the Lord. And he's telling me that's exactly how he's saying it. And I'm like, no, he gets it, though. He gets it, though. There's a presence of God that gives him a gladness of his heart that no matter what his circumstance is, he's got a gladness in his heart. I mean, he's telling me about digging in a dumpster, and he said, my wife was looking at me thinking, what are you doing, you crazy man? I'm like, I'm just finding some treasures. And he found a radio he could sell and an iron he could sell, and I don't know what else he told me, but he said, and I was just like, praise the Lord for something that actually works. Praise the Lord. And he's like, this is how he's speaking to me over the phone about this horrible circumstance that he's right in the midst of. Hello? I mean, come on. And we like, what do we do sometimes? Wait, that was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, you didn't wave at me. I just can't believe it. This guy's a jerk. Like, really? Come on, where's the gladness of your heart, brother, sister? Where's the gladness of your heart in the circumstances that God, he's got you right there? God hasn't left you. If this word is true, and it is, he said, I will never leave you until the end of this age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe the circumstances that he's got you in is just, it could be as a test. Little Hunter answered right. Why did God challenge Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son that the promise was supposed to come through as a test? What is it that God has got you in the middle of as a test, and all you're doing is whining and fussing and grumbling and complaining about it, and God's saying, I guess you're going to have to go through this again. I guess I'm just going to have to bring you through this again. And that could be until you fall into the presence of God, walk into the presence of God, dwell into the presence of God, and let the gladness of him fill your heart and get you through it. Are you willing to do that? I know it's not a fun thing, but it gives us, you know, and this is Psalm 16, verse 8 through 11. Then I'm going to go there. Let's move on. 16, 8 through 11. He says this, which is this. The presence of God gives us pleasure, full of joy, as we walk in his will and direction for our lives. Listen to this. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. So here we're gonna segue into how do we get into the presence of God. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will see rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, or hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So in the presence of God, listen to this, super simple, we find direction, we find clarity, we find his will in the presence of God, and in his will we find the fullness of joy and the pleasure of doing his will. It isn't a begrudging, like, oh, daunting task. Okay, I got to go to church this Sunday, whatever it takes, you know, I'll just get through it, you know. I got to do this stuff that God wants me to do. God wants me to do this. He's saying that in his presence, there's a pleasure in doing his will. With a little a hop in your step, a skip in your beat, or a beat in your skip. I don't know what you call it, something like that. Yeah. Amen. Acts 3:19. Oh, this is an amazing passage. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Well, it's a good one. It's a good one, this is. It really is. If I can find it, I didn't tab it, so sorry about that. Yeah. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, what's that? That's good stuff. Repent, therefore. So here is the aspect of how do we get into his presence. It must be a continuous attitude of repentance, of surrender to from my will to his will, turning from my way to his way. It's a repentance, a constant, and be converted. Allow the transformation of my mind to take place and the renewing of my soul to settle in me. That your sins may be blotted out. That is freedom from sin. He's saying in the presence of God, there's freedom from sin. Hallelujah. And that there's a time of refreshing in the presence of God. Anybody need one of those? Anybody need one of those today? Anybody need one of those like this week and tomorrow and next week? Amen. Yes, amen. So let's get gritty like we weren't already. Let's get gritty for a second. Psalm 101. This is this is good food right here. Psalm 101. I'm going to read the entire psalm. It's still right here. Right here. To open it, there must be some stuff that happens. Here's the stuff that happens. Psalm 101. Listen to this. And this may not agree with you entirely, but I believe as you receive what God is saying, that for us to enter into his presence, his manifest presence, because we know that God is omnipresent. We know that God, when I say yes to Jesus, he is inner present. He doesn't leave me. But how do I walk in that manifest presence? And you guys understand the difference, right? Yes. Hello? How many of you have ever experienced, that's why I said, have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? There's a taste that you get of the Lord's goodness that overflows within you, that floods you, that takes over your system to where you just say, oh, this is good, and God is good. God is good. And how is it that he does that? What does that look like? You know what all he's doing? All that he's doing is he's giving you just a little bit of who he looks like. He's revealing. He's pulling the covers back a little bit and saying, this is me. And when you see Jesus for him, man, there's goodness in that. There's goodness when we see Jesus for Jesus. There's goodness when the covers come back a little bit because we see his grace and his mercy and his love and the things that I could say, and I'm just saying it, I say it with such a passion within me because it's so real that when I taste the goodness of God, so much of everything that this world wants to just flood on me and crowd into me and even me. I don't know about you, but I am in this world and I'm making as much of a mess of it as the rest of you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. And his revealing his goodness says, I love you. And here's me. Oh, man. Ooh. So good, like this root beer cake here that's like just but listen to this. Is that what it's called? Yeah, root beer mousse cake. Whoa. I know, hallelujah. Listen to this. Psalm 1, you want some too? Yeah, I'm teasing you. This is good. I will sing mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way, or an upright way, as some translations will say, or a blameless way. Oh, when you will come to me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, a blameless heart. Listen, is this starting to get gritty? Because are you starting to say, hold on. Verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Yeah, huh? Oh, wait a second. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. This is God speaking this. And the one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land. That they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless, perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Did you hear all that? Oh, there's a couple more. Hold on. Early I will destroy the wicked of the land, that I might cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Do you hear what he's saying here? There is a part on my end that I must to taste and see that the Lord is good, and to dwell and enter into his presence, that I must push into. I must keep my eyes pure. In the presence of God, as we take a step into his presence and trust that in his presence is goodness instead of being afraid of it and unsure of it, as we take that step into it, then what's so awesome, because God's grace is awesome and amazing, is that all of a sudden there's an infilling of every step I take into his holiness. But I have to choose to want to take a step straight. I have to choose to want to take a step right. I have to choose to want to take a step in his direction. I have to choose to want to keep my focus on him. If I do not, and I say, ooh, that's pretty over there, I just walked out of his presence. Did you guys hear that? Did you see that? I just walked out of the direction of his presence because that was pretty over there, and I let my heart be swayed over there. Do you guys hear that? I don't know if we like that very much, but that is the truth of God's word, and that's what he's saying is our responsibility. And he's saying that to taste and see that the Lord is good, keep your way, keep your eyes, keep your heart set on me. Keep your ways, keep your eyes, keep your hands set on me. Set on me, and I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. That's not a works gospel. It's not I've got to perform to do. It's as, here's his way, walk in it, and I will empower you to stay in it. And my presence is where it dwells. It's as simple as this. Just think of it as this, if you will. This is so simple to understand. Think of it's pouring down rain out there, and I just popped up an umbrella. And in the covering of that umbrella, the rain falls off to the side. What a kind of a silly thing, unless you're holding your umbrella for your lovely wife and you don't want her hair to get wet. But what a silly thing to do, to hold the umbrella here and stand over here. That's just, I won't say it, but that's just, it's not very smart. And that's all he's saying is he's available for us. His presence is saying, stay with me, walk with me, continue in me, and it's right here for you. Oh man, I got some really good biblical examples, and give me some time. Okay, I'll just do two real quick ones. Cain is a good example, and this is great because it falls in line with what we're talking about. Genesis chapter 4. Okay, here we go. He gets right to the point. Cain, Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of his sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? And this is what God, You want me to blow your theology out of the water real quick? God is communicating and walking and talking with Cain and Abel. Just let that mull around in your head for a second. God is actually speaking with and communicating and having a conversation with Cain at this point. That's just not just, maybe that was for me. Okay. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. You need to stay the course. And of course, we know, and just really fast, that Abel's offering, the reason it was that which was acceptable, because it was the offering that God had required, and Cain's was not. And this whole concept of giving an offering to God as the first two kids that Adam and Eve have, is even that is mind-blowing, but it's deep in the gospel, that what they were portraying was, they were saying, they were speaking it ahead of time, and actually they were actually prophesying that which was to come, a Savior in the form of a perfect lamb, that which is the firstborn of God. And what Abel was offering was that which was the sacrifice that God was that was acceptable to God, because it was a portrayal of Jesus. And Cain said, well, here's my stuff. Here's me. And if it's not good enough, God, then you. I'm serious. And I know that's exactly what his heart was saying. If it's not good enough the way I am, then on you, God. That's pretty heavy duty stuff. And here's what happens. Verse 16. And because of that attitude and because of that perspective, verse 16 says, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Simply because he had an attitude that he felt like, it's good enough for me, God. Why isn't it good enough for you? And God's requirement was to stay in me. Do what I say, do what I ask. Because I love you, I care about you, it's good for you. I'm not just a mean God that wants you to obey my rules. I want what's best for you. Hello? Amen. Because he chose not to, he left the presence of God. The manifest presence of God. Jonah, he did it directly by... Oh, this is really good. Go to Jonah. Oh, man, I didn't mark it. Jonah 1:3. Pop it up. There you go, thank you. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down there and he went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What is this saying? What does that verse say? Really quick. It's super simple. It says this. Obedience to what God says to do, the presence of the Lord lies within that. The presence of the Lord lies within obedience of what God says to do. So what does disobedience do? You walk out of the presence of the Lord. Hello? Exodus. And this is I'm going to go back there. I know I quoted that verse already, but let's go to Exodus chapter 33. Because this is when it's going to come down to a question of this. And then I think it's the time to taste. It's the time to taste. Starting in verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, this is a meeting that Moses has with God in the tabernacle. See, you say to me, and this is a neat conversation. Just listen to this. See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. So now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Verse 14, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And this comment that Moses makes now is, I believe, the challenge that we're faced with. And then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. I'm going to read on just a little bit and I'll go back to that. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people, and I from the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. I want to just say this right off the bat. First and foremost, the only way you and I find grace in the sight of God is by being covered by the blood of Jesus. We find grace in the sight of God by being covered by the blood of Jesus. That's the inner presence. Now, you can and I can so choose to be saved and God dwell within you, but you can also so choose to not walk in the manifest presence of God, or you can so choose to walk in the manifest presence of God. And that choice is simply this. Are you willing, as Moses was, to surrender your will and your ways to God's? Because that's what Moses said. Moses was at the point of leading a mighty nation. But he said this, I don't care. I don't care. I will not go if you don't go with me. I will not go if you don't go with me. If your presence doesn't come with us, then leave us here to die in the desert. Because your presence is way more valuable, way more precious. Not only that, but it gives us the sustenance to actually live. The desert life isn't cutting it. And it didn't cut it. But when I choose to simply surrender, or say those words, whatever it takes, do not leave me. Whatever it takes, I want to go with you. If you don't go with us, I don't want to go. That's simply this, saying, Lord, whatever it takes to taste and see you and get a goodness, taste of your goodness, that's what I want to do. And I'm not going to leave anything in the way. Anything in the way. Man, I just wanted to share with this one with you guys, and this is from me, and it's whatever it is that God has placed in front of you to do, do it, and let God show you his presence. Let God show up manifest in your life. And whatever, if there's something in your life that he has said, okay, you need to not be doing that any longer, then not do that any longer and let God manifest his presence in your life. Trusting God with your finances, trusting God with your relationships, trusting God with your children, trusting God with your life and your direction, your calling, is saying, okay, that's what I'm going to do. That's the direction I'm going to go. And watch him manifest in you. Watch him show up, reveal, take the covers off a little bit. And then the strength, the joy, the peace, the rest, the protection that comes with that will so bless you. Will so bless you. It will fill you. It will empower you. And it will be all that you need to taste the goodness of God. I think this is ought to be opened up and at least smelled. You want to taste? No. It doesn't smell as good as it looks. I bet you it doesn't taste as good as it looks. So let's leave that illustration under here. because it's probably not what I was aiming for. Yeah. Really? I don't know. That looks pretty good.
Oh, my gosh. Give me the
name. All right. There you go. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, oh, we just thank you. We thank you for your love for us. And even as we lift up your name in worship, as we go about this day and this week in worship, Lord, give us opportunities to glorify you, to bring you into every circumstance and every situation, that we may, that you would manifest yourself, that you would show up, surprise us with your presence, empower us by your strength, by your Spirit, to do your will, to be light, to be salt, to be love as you are love. In Jesus' name, fill us with your Spirit. Show up in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.